This is Radio Superior 1940, a reproduction of actual news events with authentic popular music from 1939. This is a true story of our past. Step back with us to another time. We bring you now to the KUWS radio studios at the Superior State Teachers College and the Martin and McKenna Show.
This is the voice from the head of the lakes, station KUWS in Superior, Wisconsin. It's 6 o'clock, Friday, May 10th, 1940. This is Jack McKenna speaking. Lou Martin is standing by with the 6 o'clock news, stunning news. The Nazis are on the march in Europe. Ray Paulson's in with sports, and the Fair and Square kids will be in with Uncle Bob. You know, I like that Uncle Bob. There's something special about him.
Kind of hard to put your finger on it, eh?
Well, maybe it's charisma, Lou. Charm. Women love him. Kids love him. Animals love him.
Maybe it's his humility.
The 6 o'clock news is brought to you by Bingham Hardware, celebrating their 53rd anniversary with boys and girls bikes on sale for just $21.95. Good evening, Lou.
Good evening, Jack, and good listeners. The phony war is over. The Nazi army is marching with its blitzkrieg attack on Europe's Low Countries. Dutch and Belgium armies are trying to hold the Germans at bay in defense of their homelands. And this flash just in from Great Britain. Neville Chamberlain has resigned as Prime Minister. We begin our World Shortwave Radio Roundup with Webb Miller in London.
The resignation of Prime Minister Neville Chamberlain has just been announced here. I will read this statement just released from Buckingham Palace. The Right Honorable Neville Chamberlain resigned his office of Prime Minister and First Lord of the Treasury this evening. The Right Honorable Winston Churchill accepted His Majesty's invitation to fill the position. End of statement. Mr. Chamberlain, the apostle of appeasement who saw his policy fail with the Munich Agreement and the invasion of Poland, had hoped to carry on long enough to see Hitlerism destroyed. He had been in office since May of 1937. 3 years as Prime Minister. Winston Churchill is the First Lord of the Admiralty and was one of the few who had predicted Munich would be a disaster. He also had said that Hitler would have to be stopped with force. The 65-year-old Mr. Churchill's mother is American. This report was going to highlight the Allied rush to the front lines. British and French soldiers and artillery are in transit to the new theater of war, Luxembourg, Belgium, and the Netherlands. These countries had declared their neutrality when war broke out last fall. Parliament has been recalled from its Whitsuntide vacation for emergency session. Even as Britain prepared for the dread air bombings from German planes, the first bombs dropped near the town of Canterbury. 500,000 school children are once again being prepared to evacuate London. As one observer here blithely put it, we have a war. In London, this is Webb Miller calling the Netherlands. Come in, Virgil Pickney in Amsterdam.
Free Amsterdam calling. This is Virgil Pickney, United Press. This surprise attack through the Low Countries is much like the strategy of the World War in 1914 when German troops made these small countries their own battlefields. But the high command here says Dutch forces are standing firm against Adolf Hitler's blitzkrieg. Dutch General Henry Winckelmann says in his order of the day that the enemy's surprise attack may be considered to have failed. Allied mechanized troops are said to be moving swiftly through Belgium to meet the aggressors. Nazi planes roam the skies of Western Europe, bombing cities and ports in Belgium, the Netherlands, and France itself. Parachute troops led the surprise attack, taking bridges and ambushing unsuspecting guards. Messerschmitt planes strafed Antwerp and The Hague Airport. Lyon, Dunkirk, Calais, and Brussels were also bombed. The Luxembourg government has evacuated its country, taking with it the national treasury and archives. The Low Countries immediately appealed for help from Allied armies. Dutch Queen Wilhelmina appealed to her people to resist the invaders, while Belgian King Leopold is following the World War example of his father, taking control of his armies. Berlin radio broadcast messages in French and Flemish to remember the horrors of 1914 in the World War and warned that there are more horrors to come. The broadcast pleaded for our dear comrades to put down their arms. The Germans only want to cross Belgium. For this veteran correspondent who has reported from defeated capitals of Warsaw and Helsinki, this has the makings of those tragedies all over again. The difference here is that this time Adolf Hitler must contend with Brits and French. In Amsterdam, this is Virgil Pinkley speaking, calling the States. Come in, John Hightower in Washington.
This is Washington. Hightower here. President Roosevelt says he is in full sympathy with Queen Wilhelmina in her rallying cry to her people. FDR just emerged from a conference with state, justice, army, and navy officials. President Roosevelt says he is taking swift measures to protect America's neutrality. But because of Holland's possessions in the West Indies, the war is suddenly very close to the United States. The president has ordered all credits and cash balances held in this country by Holland, Belgium, and Luxembourg to be frozen to prevent invading countries from getting that money. Under Secretary of State Sumner Wells is being used as the go-between in this new war. At the request of the Belgian government, he notified Berlin that Brussels is an open, undefended city with no troops there. Brussels has already been bombed. At the outset of the war, President Roosevelt urged warring nations to not bomb open cities. U.S. Minister George Gordon at The Hague says all 892 American citizens in the Netherlands are believed to be safe. U.S. Ambassador William Bullitt in Paris says German planes have bombed the ports of Calais and Dunkirk. In Washington, this is Hightower speaking.
British troops have taken over the independent kingdom of Iceland. The surprise move came as London announced it was protecting Iceland from German invasion. Until Germany took over Denmark April the 9th, Iceland shared the same king as the Danes, Christian the 10th. Iceland has the oldest operating parliament in the world. The British Foreign Office says it guarantees that the force will be withdrawn at the end of the war. Iceland does not have a standing army or navy. From Bern, Switzerland, the Swiss government has ordered the total mobilization of its armed forces and are at a precautionary state of war. The communique says the Swiss army is ready for any eventuality, but wishes to remain neutral. Aviation authorities say that allied countries have ordered 2,000 more American-made warplanes. The new contracts for the fighting planes and bombers pushed the orders in the past month to 4,000 planes. At the same time, it's been disclosed by the U.S. War Department that they want to order 200 long-range bombers for defense of the Western Hemisphere. Bingham Hardware News Time is 6:07. Jack McKenna has this important message from our sponsor.
Thank you, Lou. Bingham Hardware is celebrating their 53rd anniversary sale. And guess who wins on that score? You and I, friends. You and I. If you want a bicycle, you can get $5 off the normal price at $21.95. Boys and girls bicycles. And tricycles for the younger kids. How about that? They're on sale, too. $2.98. Can you believe it? Well, believe it. It's Bingham's, and they're always believable. There's house paint, too, of course. Paint and color headquarters for Sherwin-Williams Paints. Oh, yes. That's Bingham Hardware. 1009 Tower Avenue. And if you want to phone in, just call 109. Bingham, their 53rd anniversary sale.
A superior judge is warning Duluth gangsters and hoodlums, cross the bridge and land in the state prison at Waupun. KUWS radio newsman Mike Simonson has the story.
District Attorney Tom Foley asked Judge Archie McKay to send a message across the bay. When they cross the boundary line with criminal intent, they're keeping a rendezvous with the state penitentiary. Judge McKay obliged the DA today by throwing the book at two Duluth men convicted of breaking and entering the Service Motor Company garage on December 29th. 22-year-old Frank Lombardi was sentenced to 1 to 10 years in prison, while cohort in crime Manny Smith was given 1 to 5 years. Quoting District Attorney Foley, these men are felons, and night after night, under the cover of darkness, sneak across the Arrowhead and interstate bridges and perpetrate crimes in this community, unquote. In all, the men admitted to burgling three places, Service Motor Company Garage, Newman Auto, and Central Co-op Retail Stores. They also tried to break into Bertheum Grocery and A&K Auto Store. The fence who bought the stolen goods has been apprehended in Duluth. And one more thing, Lou. Mr. Foley says the man who broke open the safe at Service Motor Company used a welding torch. He learned how to use it while doing time at St. Cloud Reformatory.
There's nothing like a useful trade skill. Well, thank you, Mike. The State Board of Normal Regents has raised college tuition by one-third. This steep boost is designed to reduce enrollments and raise teaching standards at Wisconsin colleges and universities. The average normal school fee was $15 a semester, but now students will have to pay $20 for a full credit load. The nine colleges across the state have a total of 8,100 students. Hurley is looking at building a poorhouse. Relief Director Frank Cavassier says that Hurley would save money by putting the 19 men who are on relief now in one home. Relief now costs $285 a month for all 19 men, but a home would cost only $176 a month, including meals. The Hurley City Council also was given 140 American flags for use on city streets on holidays. Edward Corsetti of the American Legion donated the flags, including a big 5-by-9-footer for the City Hall flagpole. Bayfield's big trolling contest is set for this summer. This second annual event will draw fishermen from all over the region. The contest is great for the trolling industry, which has 50 boats available. Each boat can carry from 4 to 10 people. Leonard Seeberger says that his excursion boat, the Detroit, will be headquarters for the contest. The 100-passenger Detroit will cruise among the islands during the contest and lay anchor at Brownstone Island later that day. The biggest fish caught last year was a 28-pound trout. The most Lakers caught by one fisherman was 9. The year before that, 1938, the biggest fish caught was a 44-pounder. How about that, Jack?
44 pounds? That's a small whale, Lou. Whew. What do you use for bait? Captain Ahab? Well, let's check that marvelous May forecast for this Friday, friends. May the 10th, 1940. Warmer tonight and tomorrow with a fresh northeasterly wind. Tonight's low will be around 46, with Saturday's high at 75 degrees. That'll bring us May flowers, folks. Don't complain. Let's kick off our Friday night get-together on the Martin and McKenna Show with this number from Russ Morgan and his orchestra. This is Your Nobody Till Somebody Loves You. How true. On Station KUWS.
You're nobody till somebody loves you. You're nobody till somebody cares. You may be king, you may possess the world and its gold, but gold won't bring you happiness when you're growing old. The world still is the same, you'll never change it. As sure as the stars shine above, you're nobody till somebody loves you. So find yourself somebody to love.
Mm-hmm.
never changes. As sure as the stars shine above, you're nobody till somebody loves you. So find yourself somebody to love.
Good Friday night musical start, friends. That's the singing of Russ Morgan with his orchestra and You're Nobody Till Somebody Loves You on the Martin and McKenna Show. Hungry? Well, Lou Martin is always hungry. So one of his favorite places is Bellwood by the Brule, right on Highway 2. Bellwood by the Brule has turkey and chicken dinners. Now get this, folks, for just 75 cents each. Sometimes Lou will eat one of each. Then there's the delicious steak dinner for just $1. Baked ham dinner, only 60 cents. And don't forget the house specialty, the Bellwood bean dinner, only 40 cents. We don't let Lou eat that one.
I'd appreciate it if you would leave my name out of your announcements.
That's fine, Mr. Cranky. Try Bellwood on the Brule, a certain newsman's favorite place, right there on Highway 2 between Superior and Ashland. A good place to take Mrs. Martin, too, for Mother's Day.
I would also appreciate it if you'd leave my mom out of it, too.
Speaking of Lou's mom, let's play this number for all of you moms out there. What with Mother's Day this Sunday, here's Benny Goodman and his orchestra and the Glory of Love on the Martin and McKenna Show. Benny Goodman and his orchestra for all you moms out there, and the Glory of Love on station KUWS.
Hiya, Jake. You giving Lou the beans again today?
Hey, I've been trying to keep him away from the beans.
Darn good idea.
I'd appreciate it if you didn't talk about me on the air.
He's pretty sensitive today, Ray. Well, take it away, Rapid Ray.
Well, he must be a Yankee fan.
Those Bronx bombers are in the tank, sport fans, in the cellar of the junior circuit, and losers of six contests in a row. The smart money is deserting the team you love to hate. The bets are on the Boston Red Sox and Cleveland Indians. The Bo Sox Joe Cronin smacked a two-bagger, and pinch hitter Joe Peacock drove him in. In the 10th, they pulled out an extra-inning triumph over the Tigers. The Tribe's prize right-hander, Bob Feller, felled the mighty Yanks 4-0, holding the New York 9 hitless until Joe DiMaggio scratched a single off the glove of shortstop Lou Boudreau. You call that a Yankee doodle, fans? Tragedy struck at the Indianapolis Brickyard as racers are tuning up for the Indy 500. George Bailey's car spun out of control, hit a concrete retaining wall, burst into flames, killing the 38-year-old driver yesterday. The hometown nine got a good start to the new Northern League season. The Superior Blues turned back the Fargo Moorhead Twins 10-7. Blues right-hander Dick Milady went the distance, while second baseman Tony Guzak lashed a bristling triple to start off a big second inning before the hometown crowd at Municipal Stadium. And it looks like new manager Chappie Gagan has a solid infield with Matt Backus at first, Guzak at second, Bob Hauser at short, and one of my favorite names in sports, Tommy Hawk at third. Don't forget, sport fans, that everybody loves a good sport.
Of course. Rapid Ray Paulson, ladies and gentlemen. We've got the Fair and Square Kids coming up, so stick around. You too, Ray. We might need you. Uncle Bob hasn't shown up yet.
Right you are, Captain.
Well, let's enjoy the good time music of the Mills Brothers and Lazy River on the Martin and McKenna Show.
Oh, up the lazy river by the old mill run. The lazy, lazy river in the noonday sun. Lingered in the shade of a kind old tree. Throw away your troubles, dream a dream of me. Up the lazy river where the robin's song awaits the bright new morning where we can loaf along. Blue skies up above, everyone's in love. Up the lazy river, how happy you could be. Up the lazy river with me. Up the lazy river by the old mill run. The lazy, lazy river in the noonday sun. Linger in the shade of a kind old tree.
Throw away your troubles, dream a dream with me. Oh,
up the lazy river where the robin's song awaits the bright new morning where we can loaf along. Blue skies up above, everyone's in love. Up the lazy river, how happy you could be. Up the lazy river with me. Shade of a kind old tree.
Throw away your troubles, dream a dream with me.
Up a lazy river where the robin's song awaits the bright new morning where we can roll along.
Blue skies up above, everyone's in love. Up a lazy river, how happy you could be.
Up a lazy river with me. Up a lazy river with me.
Boom, 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 boom. Yes, sir, for your lazy enjoyment, folks, that's the fabulous Mills Brothers and Lazy River on station KUWS.
These news bulletins just in. President Roosevelt will speak to the nation over the radio tonight. He'll address Hitler's latest offensive in Europe and the appointment of Winston Churchill as British Prime Minister. From London, the Home Office is warning the British Isles to be on the lookout for German troops landing by parachute. From Paris, the French military reports that British and German forces are clashing near the Luxembourg frontier. From The Hague, a German leaflet dropped by plane says the city is surrounded. That's the latest news, good listeners. Hey, the kids are here, but no Uncle Bob. Why isn't Uncle Bob here, Jack? You two are pretty close.
Well, maybe Uncle Bob doesn't want to be here today, that's all. Maybe he just doesn't feel like it. Maybe someone else will take his place.
Maybe that'll scare the kids and cause moms and dads to get mad at us.
Where's your adventurous nature, Lou? On with the music. And then the fair and square kids, Uncle Bob or no Uncle Bob. This is Will Osborne and Heart and Soul on the Martin and McKenna Show.
Avast ye, mateys! Arr!
That guttural sound is none other than Captain Q.
Don't you be forgetting me, ship's radio operator, Sparks.
Yeah, Captain, where's the little land lovers?
Bring on the swabbies.
The swabbies in question are three bright youngsters with the Fair and Square Club.
Arr, fair and square they be.
Sounds like some goody two-shoes to me.
Now, girls, don't be afraid. Captain Q and Sparks won't... hurt you. Don't be alarmed or tell your parents or anything like that.
Are you real pirates? Neat.
I don't know.
Arr, what be this neat?
Well, they're not be speaking about us as neat, Captain.
Arr, if the Pirates Union finds us out, they'll kick us out. You girlies aren't afraid of this, then, are you? Arr.
No, pirates are neat. Wait till I tell everyone. What's behind that eye patch? Is it all icky and yucky?
Yeah, and is that a real parrot? Does he talk?
Arr, that's Shangus, me parrot. and a lifelong shipmate.
That pirate's fake, and I bet you aren't real pirates. Prove it.
Arr! How we go about proving we's the scourge of the seven seas, Sparks?
Well, Captain, I say, we make them walk the plank.
We're fresh out of planks at the radio station. Now, girls, Uncle Bob is apparently not going to show up. I know that you're disappointed.
Uncle Bob is fun, but these guys, they're keen.
Real swell.
That parent isn't even breathing.
Parents do that. I know that each of you has a poem that you're going to read to Uncle Bob. But you could read it to me, Uncle Lou.
The captain likes to hear a verse in rhyme once in a dime. What say ye, doubting ones, go first, and then we'll see if ye be spared the walking of the plank.
Captain Q's just playing with you girls. No need to call your parents or even remember that this ever happened.
I'm Frances Farkins of Moqua. My poem is called Song of the Farmer. Can't say 'twas much a year for grain, for when 'twas said and done, if we didn't get too much rain, we had too much sun. Our health was good just off and on. Ma had the grips and the flu. The kids, all 10, came down with the whooping cough, and Bill's made me sick, too. The cows got fat and the pigs got lean. Old Nellie passed away, and I've seen many a day. I say you what you will, don't be too spouty, 'cause it was a great pity, but we're starting right for 1940. Bud, we're going to the city.
Ah, mighty fine, says I. You're a good lassie that tells a tall tale that would make any pirate proud.
10 kids? Holy man. And Ma with the grips? I'll tell you, Captain, it's that old man depression got the farmer down. That's what I say.
My name is Patricia Donovan. I live in Superior, and my poem is called Abraham Lincoln.
Ah, mighty fine, lassie. That honest Abe? Bar. Quiet, everyone. The captain wants to hear.
Lincoln was a character strong, staunch, and true. He gave his life for duty, as only heroes do. He became president of our USA, a president of whom we're proud today. He never took advantage over his fellow men. No, and not one of them took advantage over him. When he made his Gettysburg Address, he thought it was crude. No one made him move to clap. Yet he was our president, of which we are very glad. But if he were to look on the world today, he would be very sad.
Matey's got it right, Captain.
Arr, all that warring and fighting. Patty's got that right, too. Good job, Patty.
This is Evening by Allie Mackey of Poplar. Crickets chirping here and yonder, all the katydids astir. As I sit out here in wonder, I can hear a partridge whir. In the west the sun is dropping, back behind the farmhouse pine, as the evening star comes a-poppin' o'er the darkening timberline. I can hear the bullfrogs holler, making music for their tads, and the black bass start to waller down among the lily pads. Fireflies with their little lanterns flashing off and on at will, shadows making fancy patterns with the master artist's skill. It's a joy to watch and listen when the twilight rolls around and the first stars start to glisten like jewels in a crown. Something grand about the evening comes the closing of the day. Always seems to me that heaven ain't so far away.
Shiver me timbers, that touched me right here in the old ticker.
You know, Captain, me eyes are wetting up. Reminds me of me old mother dearest out in the country when I was a wee little one.
Ah, Ily Mackey, you did yourself proud.
Now it's your turn, Captain, if that's what you really are.
Oh, it's proof he wants then, eh?
Show her, Captain Q. Show Francis that you're a pirate.
Now, girls, there's no good way to prove Captain Q is a pirate.
As sure as the sea is full of salt, matey, I can prove it, all right.
Let me say this again. There's no good way to prove it. There'll be no walking of the planks around here.
Oh, Captain, go ahead. Give the girls your best stuff.
A yo-ho-ho and a bottle of rum. I'll send me scurvy dog down to Davy Jones' locker if he comes by me on the high seas. We'll haul up the skull and crossbones, we will, and take no prisoners. Aye.
Yep, it'll about do it.
That'll about do it for our jobs, you mean. Say it. It's okay, girls.
Okay. That was
really, really neat.
Can you teach me to be a pirate, Captain Q?
Yeah, teach us how to talk pirate.
Well, you've got to get your R down first. Give me a good R.
R!
Again, but with more gusto.
R!
It'd be important to mention now that this isn't something that you kids should do at home in front of your parents.
Come on, Mr. Lou, do it with us.
That's it for our show this week. We'll be back, same time, same place, on your radio dial. The good Lord willing, and we haven't been shanghaied by the captain.
Okay now, swabbies, from the pit of your belly.
You've been listening to Radio Superior 1940, an original weekly production by KUWS Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio. Radio Superior is produced and written by Mike Simonson. Other performances by Paul Guggenheimer, Duke Skorich, John Munsell. All events reported on Radio Superior 1940 are actual accounts from the editions of the Superior Evening Telegram. Join us next week at this same time for more Radio Superior. This is your announcer, Dan Culhane, speaking. Good night.